This is Fresh Air. It's not easy to talk about death in our culture, so the idea of taking memorial photographs of dead loved ones would strike most of us as downright ghoulish. But in the last century, when death at an early age was much more common, postmortem photographs were an important way of remembering the dead for mainstream Protestant America. And in the eyes of my guest, Dr. Stanley Burns, many of these photos were quite moving. Burns is an ophthalmologist who has a medical photography archive and has edited a book of memorial photography called Sleeping Beauty. The title refers to the Victorian concept of death as a restful sleep for a redeemed soul. There are pictures of the dead in coffins, on beds, in rocking chairs, and in the arms of loved ones. Some are beautified with flowers, others are stark. Wealthy people have always been able to afford portraits, but until the 1800s, the working person did not have the means for immortalization.
With the invention of photography in 1839, a process was possible where a person could have the best memorialization conceivable, which was an actual representation of themselves. The problem was, when photography started, not everyone could have their picture taken immediately, and the photographs were expensive. What happened was, someone would die before their photograph could get taken. So what resulted was photographer coming and taking a picture of the deceased.
If, say, a parent took a picture of a dead child, what would they like to do with the photograph? Would it be a private memory, or would it be hung on the living room wall?
Well, what started off as private memorialization, became a cultural norm. These pictures were made into lockets. They were made into wall hanging ornaments and put into frames. Most importantly, with the advent of the paper print, many copies were made, and they were sent to all the friends and relatives so that they could see the deceased. It was a normal practice. This was not something that was hidden or shameful, as it is in the 20th century.
Now, the photographs that you've collected in the book are really fascinating. There are several where the mother is posed with the dead child on her lap. And I was saying that it seemed ghoulish to take pictures of the dead, but it seems very much against custom as we know it today to hold somebody dead on your lap and pose with them.
People in the 19th century were quite familiar with death. You died at home, you were taken care of by your loved ones, and you were buried by your loved ones. It was not unusual, therefore, for all members of the family to become extremely familiar with death. Taking a photograph, a mother or father taking a photograph with their dead child, came from a painterly tradition. There was a painterly tradition of the sick child, where there's a famous painting which became known throughout culture, and there were many representations of it, of a mother with her sick child, which was an honoring of motherhood and childhood. When children died, pictures were taken in this style, and oftentimes there's no attempt to show that the child is not dead. There are several pictures in the book where the child obviously has rigor mortis and is garlanded with flowers and other symbols of death.
Yeah, and you'd think that after rigor mortis had set in that the child wouldn't be sitting on the mother's lap, but that's how some of the poses are. Were there no taboos about how much time could have elapsed before a photo was taken?
Well, ideally would be done as soon as possible, because people were usually buried promptly. But there is one photograph in the book of a mother who was attached to her daughter that would not let her be buried, and the picture was taken 9 days after death. And actually, she looks quite well, which is surprising. Most of us today who are not familiar with death are quite surprised with the appearances in these photographs.
Well, you mentioned how the hands are sometimes a giveaway that the photograph is of a dead person. In some of the photos, the hands are tied together.
In the early era of photography, there was no attempt to beautify death of adults. That's why the book's called Sleeping Beauty. It's the story of how we all got to look like sleeping beauties. At the beginning of photography, the religious ethic at the time dictated that we were sinners going to hell to meet our Maker. We didn't have to be prettified. And there was no attempt to beautify the pictures. For instance, because of rigor mortis, hands were tied. I have some pictures with the coins on the eyelids, with the chin straps, with all the devices that one would associate with death at the time present in the photograph. There would be pictures with blood running from the mouth and nose. And for consideration, I didn't put in the more gruesome of those types of photograph, but there are quite a few. There was no attempt to beautify death in adults at the early age of photography.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Dr. Stanley Burns, and he's edited a book called Sleeping Beauty, Memorial Photography in America. They're photographs from the 19th and early 20th centuries. We'll take a short break, then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Dr. Stanley Burns, and he has an archive of artistic and historical medical photos, and his new book of memorial photography comes from the archives and from other places as well. Most of the photographs in your book are photographs that were taken in the home. This was a time when people were prepared for death at home.
Well, the main home in the room, the parlor, was really the death room in the house. And people were used to preparing and taking care of each other. In the 19th century, we died at home, surrounded by our friends and relatives, and it was a completion of life. We were responsible for our loved ones. Friends and relatives came in, washed the body, and took care of it, and were all part of the mourning process.
When somebody died at home, you say that they were prepared for the funeral in the room that was known as the parlor, but once funeral parlors came into being, the name of that room was changed in the house.
That occurred in 1910 with a quick movement of the journalistic pen. Edward Bach, who was editor of the Ladies' Home Journal, had decided that death was not an important issue for the 20th century American. Because of the absolute miracles of conquest of disease, there was a great movement on and a great understanding that death itself would be conquered in the 20th century. To foster that idea, the dying of death was a common topic of discussion. And Editor Bach dictated that he would not accept the designation parlor for any room in the home that was shown or listed, portrayed in the Ladies' Home Journal, and that to go the exact opposite route, he made up the name living room. And so that when we discuss living room, we're really talking about the death room in our house.
When funeral parlors, were becoming more popular, what happened to the idea of taking pictures of the dead?
The idea of photographing the dead, how shall I say, died with the advent of the loss of death in America. Because of World War I, mourning was abolished, and literally abolished, just almost the same as Edward Bach's swift pen. The Queen in England, looking out over her subjects, because of the tremendous numbers of death in World War I, everyone was wearing mourning clothes, and this was not a good morale booster. So she decreed that mourning clothes would be not required, how shall I say, in society. And they were removed from society.
So when part of the mourning process died out, so did the whole idea of photography?
Of taking photographs. However, because of the shamefulness and taboo of death in the 20th century, people take photographs, but they do not talk about them anymore. As a matter of fact, Ann Landers, in a column, had received a letter about she had received from one of her relatives some postmortem pictures of a relative in a coffin. And Landers did not like the idea. And she printed it. This was her answer. However, within a short time, she received over 1,000 replies to this column and retracted the statement and reprinted some of those letters. And it turns out, as I had predicted in my book, that people are still taking postmortem photographs. It's not part of the cultural norm, but they do it because it's one of the last acts of memorialization. It's not, as I said, widely done, but it's being done, and it is being done more and more as we recognize the need to participate more in the death process.
You know, the early daguerreotype photography was not the easiest or quickest process. It's hardly like having a little, Polaroid at home. What did it entail to have somebody come in and take a photograph of a deceased relative?
Well, it actually was a big deal. The photographer had to bring his entire apparatus. Many of these pictures are extremely beautiful because you had to hold still for a while to take your photograph when you were living. Many pictures of children, especially young children, daguerreotypes, show the child moving. There's a blur in the image. It's hard to get a daguerreotype of a still child that holds still for 20 seconds or more.
Because the exposure time is so long.
Because exposure time is long. However, with the dead, you don't have to worry about exposure time. You could take your time with lighting, with positioning, and you could shoot as long as you would like with the different lighting effects. So post-mortem photographs are artistically very beautiful in many, many cases because of that fact of early photography.
Let me ask you, have you ever done anything like this yourself, or would you ever consider it?
I would consider it, but I haven't done it. I, as most Americans, have lived a good part of my life without having experienced a death. The average 20-year-old person has almost a 98 or more percent chance of not experiencing a death in their family for the next 25 years. There will be no death of children or parents. And so that death in America has become an old age process.
Not completely, especially with an epidemic like AIDS.
Well, that was one of the reasons why I wrote the book, because the present AIDS epidemic forces us to face death by disease in the prime of life. And this is for the first time in 70 years we see people die prematurely, children before parents.
Do you know if a lot of people who have lost loved ones from AIDS have been taking pictures of the deceased?
Yes, they have. It's a loving act. There's very little you could do for a dying person. And there's very little one can do in our society with the way funerals are done. And mourning and bereavement process has been shortened so that we don't get much time to really participate in and work out our grief. Taking a photograph allows that participation, and it gives you something positive, something you can keep, something you can hold in your hand. You don't have to put it on your wall, but it's there. One of the research things that I have done is talk to people who have owned photo development places. And the research has shown that whereas people take sex pictures and send them in to be developed, the same number, same percentage of death pictures are apparently running through these development places. So it is being done. It's just not being talked about. Death is our 20th century taboo and shameful topic. Personal, intimate death.
Do you find it kind of paradoxical that at this time where as you say, we've become so kind of out of touch with death, it's taken care of by the professionals, yet death is so much more explicitly shown in fiction, you know, in the literature we read, in the movies that we see.
Well, violent death is, and war death is part of our daily diet. I can shoot the engineer here, say, and
hey,
and I, no matter how horrible a job I did, they'd have his picture in the paper tomorrow, and they say, "Hey, look what he did," and we could show it around, and we can have it over breakfast and everything else. However, if he died right now and had a heart attack, and I took a very beautiful, loving post-mortem photograph of him after he was dead, and I showed it around, people say, "What are you showing me this for?" It's a difference in what our diet is. We do not deal with personal death in this century. If your mother dies, a relative dies, I'm sorry to hear about it. I hope you can make it to work day after tomorrow. The violent death crime is expected. The natural personal death is not. And I'm really trying to make that part of life.
Well, Dr. Stanley Burns, thank you very much for talking with us.
Well, thank you.
Dr. Stanley Burns edited the book Sleeping Beauty, Memorial Photography in America. It's published by 12 Trees Press.